God's grace, his mercy, and his peace be with you today from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, I talked with you about dealing with bad news. And we saw how God's good news trumps all the world's evil news. But sometimes we don't just worry or get troubled about the things that we see happening in the world around us at the present moment. Sometimes we get troubled and anxious about the things that we think might happen to us and around us in the future. And therefore, today I'd like to talk with you about worry, about being anxious in your life. For when you get worried or anxious, it can be a real burden to your life. It just eats you up. Therefore, today, how can Christians deal with worry? How can we overcome anxiety? And the real question I want to ask you this morning is this. Are you a worrier or are you a warrior? God's going to speak to us about this by his word and by his scriptures to give us his will and his word to us for an encouragement in Christ. So let's listen to that today. What's his will for us on worry and anxiety? Well, first off, when you think about those things, we all have to face it, right? We all at times have to deal with worrying or being anxious about things. And there's a lot of things you can be anxious about. Jesus gives us in our gospel lesson for today two things that people worry about. He says, Matthew 6, verse 25, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. So there we have two things already, right? Food and clothing. Don't be anxious about these things as God's will for you. Now, if you go to all different parts of the world, like parts of China or Russia or the Third World and Haiti, people worry about these things, food and clothing, and that's a really big worry for them. We don't so much have that in America because we got Walmart down the street. At least we have the facade of having these things supplied, although that's kind of an iffy and false hope to rely on Walmart. But nevertheless, we worry about other things, and our list can go on and on and on about the things we worry. What are you worrying about today? We got things we can worry about, food and clothing. We can worry a lot of women about their weight or their appearance. We can worry about our jobs, job security, money. We can worry about our health, our blood pressure, our cholesterol, cancer. We can worry about car maintenance and paying bills and gas prices. We worry about impressing other people. We're worried about what they think of us, about making a mistake in front of them. We worry about politics. We worry about the immorality that's in our country. We worry about a hectic lifestyle that we lead. We're going so fast. Can we get it all done? And can we do it perfectly? We worry about the weather, about crops. We worry about ourselves, our families, and family troubles. And we worry about death. And just to top it all off, as if we don't have enough worries already, we even worry about worrying sometimes. Am I worrying too much? Is my anxiety going to kill me? So there's no end to what we can worry about. Jesus gives us food and clothing, but I'll tell you, you might think you want to live in the old-fashioned days, in Jesus' days, where it's just food and clothing, but they had their worries about everything too, just like we do. For we read in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 22, what has a man from all the toil and strain with which he toils under the sun? For all his days are full of pain, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his mind does not rest. This also is vanity, says the Lord. So they worried about everything you worry about. What are you worrying about today? What makes you anxious? What might you worry about this week? And my question to you is, are you a worrier or are you a warrior? Well, that leads to the next question. What is God's will for us? What does he want for your life? God who created you, what does he want your life to be like? He's actually expressed it in his will, in his word. Let's read it again. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. That's God's will for you. He doesn't want you to be anxious. He doesn't want you to be worried. He says in Luke, which of you by being anxious can add one single hour to his span of life? How many of you can do that? If you're not able to do as much smaller thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Says our Lord. He says, therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day, says our Savior. God doesn't want you to be a worrier. He wants you to be a warrior. And there's a big difference between the two. Let me prove that God wants this for you. 2 Timothy 2, take your share of suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, he says. We can go to Ephesians 6, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? No, I tell you, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're more than what? Conquerors, soldiers, warriors. That is what God wants you to be, his people. That's the kind of heart. Does it sound like God wants you to be a warrior? He wants you to be a warrior. It's clear. And he says this to us in 1 Corinthians 7, I want you to be free from anxieties. 1 Peter 5, cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you. Proverbs 12, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. And 2 Timothy 1, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, lack of courage, such things, and fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. That's what God's given you. So, next question then, how are we to deal with worry as warriors? What do we need to conquer it? Well, let's understand a little more about what worry is. All right, let's define that. Worry is a feeling you experience when you perceive that there is a threat to you or to someone you care about or to something you care about. Okay? When you perceive a threat. Let me give you a little example here. Contrast swimming in two oceans. Between swimming in Cape Cod, where I'm from, and swimming in the Florida Keys, where I've also swum. If you're in Cape Cod, you know, on the beaches of Cape Cod this summer, where my parents live, where I'm from, they closed the eastern beaches of the Cape for great whites swimming around. I was swimming on one of these beaches, and I just read in the news recently that in that same area, they'd come in from the ocean into the inner harbor at the Chatham Lighthouse, and they tagged a 20-foot great white shark swimming within about 20 feet of the beach. And on their way out, they tagged a 16-footer. That changes the way you swim. Not only so, but when you're in those waters, you can't see in Cape Cod beyond about 5 feet at most. So if there's a 20-foot great white 10 feet from you, you don't even know it. That makes it all the scarier when you jump into water that you can't even see your feet in. And there are these kinds of creatures. Contrast that now to the Florida Keys, Key Largo, where I swam. It's also the ocean. There are also sharks there, but I can see what's coming. I can look under. I got like 50, 70 feet of visibility when Naomi and I were down swimming there. And I can look under the water and say, no sharks, no threat, no worries. So there's a big difference between, you know, when you perceive a threat and when you don't perceive a threat. And there was a pastor, Eugene Peterson, who said, hope is faith plus imagination. And when I heard that, I thought, well, what is worry then? Worry is fear plus imagination. You worry about things you can't see, you can't totally grasp, that are mysterious, that are outside of your comfort zone. You can't see it coming, and so you worry about it. And even most things in life that you worry about never happen. But you're going through your life cowering and fearing about what might happen because you can't see it all. And remember, the word for worry in English comes from an Anglo-Saxon word meaning to strangle and choke. How does God want you to go through your life as his people, as if you're being strangled and choked through life by worry, or as a warrior. God says, I want you to go through it as a soldier, as a warrior of mine. Not a warrior, but a warrior. So, I guess you're all asking now, then, how do we change? I'm a warrior. How do I become a warrior? How do I transform? What's God say about that? Let's open the scriptures again. 1 Samuel chapter 10, King Saul, when he's being made king, we read basically he was like any other man when he was young. But then it says, Samuel, the prophet, came to Saul. He took a vial of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his people Israel? And you are to reign over the people of the Lord, and you will save them from the hand of their enemies round about. So he was what? Anointed. And then it says, when he turned his back to leave, when Saul turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave Saul another heart. And all these signs came to pass that day. So he was a man just like the rest of us. He got an anointing. God gave him a new heart from that day forward, and it changed him. And in the next chapter, enemies are coming. Saul used to be hiding amongst the luggage and the baggage. Now he stands up and he says, what ails the people? And he mustered an army and destroyed those who were coming against them. Because why? God gave him a new heart. Thank you. He gave him a new spirit. And that's what we need. You know, there's no human efforts are ever going to get rid of your worrying. We can go to counseling, and that may be somewhat helpful. We can take medications. That may be somewhat helpful. But I'll tell you something. Worry is a spiritual problem, and it needs a spiritual answer. What you need is a new heart. You need a new spirit. You need God's spirit. It makes the difference. You can take one more example of that to prove it to you. Let's take a look at 1 Samuel 16. Samuel is again on the scene. He's going to anoint another man because Saul turned aside. He anoints David, and we read, and the Lord said, arise and anoint him, David, and for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Wouldn't that be great? Prophet comes up to you. You're a warrior. Anoints you. A new spirit comes upon you. God's Holy Spirit. And you're a warrior from that day on. Ah, that's great. Well, that's what God does for us. How else could David possibly have stood up to Goliath? You know, everybody else in the army saw, big man. Big threat. I'm worrying. David said, where's the threat? I'm the threat here. The Spirit of God is with me. This day, Goliath, God will give you into my hand, and I will feed your flesh to the birds of the air and the fish of the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel, and that he saves, not with sword and spear, but for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. That is the spirit of a warrior. That's the spirit God wants to give to you in his Holy Spirit. That way you can say to every trouble and every concern and worry and anxiety that you have, who is this or what is this uncircumcised trouble that it should defy the armies of the living God? This day the Lord will give you into my hand, whatever you're facing. That's the spirit of a warrior. Wouldn't you like that? How do we then get the Spirit so that we can even say to death, my boast is this, my Lord Jesus has conquered death. I don't even fear you. Well, how do we get the Spirit? Answer, Acts chapter 2. We got cowering, fearful disciples, worrying, anxiety-ridden disciples hiding behind closed doors. They're locked. They're shut for fear of the Jews. They get a big transformation, though, don't they? Pentecost, the Spirit comes down upon them, and within seconds they're outside boldly proclaiming Jesus. And in that sermon, Peter tells you how to get the Holy Spirit. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The gift of the Holy Spirit. Through faith, through baptism, God gives it to you. Do you have the Holy Spirit today? Have you been baptized? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus? You have the Spirit. And you have the Spirit that makes you, gives you the spirit of a warrior who stands up and that does not worry. But there's a problem. You say, wait, I have the Holy Spirit, and you do, but I still worry. I still get anxious. I still get troubled about things. So, Pastor, well, you know what? The disciples had that problem too. If you look at Acts 2, they were bold. They had the Holy Spirit, and by Acts 4, they're being threatened. They're being what?
Threatened.
And so, what'd they do? They prayed. It says in their prayer, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats," they pray, "and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand and do signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, when they'd what? Prayed, the place in which they were gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. What did they need? The Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit. They got worried because they had some threats. They prayed and they got filled once again. So maybe, just maybe, when you're praying and you're worried about a whole bunch of things in your life, instead of praying to God and saying, "God, please help me with my worry. Please help me with my anxiety." How about this? "God, give me your Spirit." That's what we need to be praying. "God, give me your Spirit. Give me a new heart." Because when the Spirit comes, the threat goes. Because wherever God is, the threat is gone. Because God is a greater threat to your threat than your threat is to you. If God be for me, who can be against me? Who can stop me? What can stop me? What threat is there to me if God keeps me? But the job of God and Jesus and the Spirit in your life is to convince you of this more and more, that he is with you, so that you can lean on him and everything. So what's God do to convince us that he is with us and to remove our worry? Well, God says, "You know that I'm with you. Look at my faithfulness even to nature." That's what Jesus said in Matthew 6. He says, "If God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith?" Look to my faithfulness even in nature, God says, that you may know I'm with you. You know, I've been swimming in Cape Cod, snorkeling from the time I was a little boy. I've never yet seen a worried crab. God takes care of them, right? I've never yet seen an anxious sparrow or a troubled rose. Yet these are things of so much less value than you. And God says, "I'm taking care of these. Can't you see that? I'm going to take care of you. How much more I'm going to do that? So look at my faithfulness in nature and take heart. I'm with you to deliver you." Second, he says, "Look to my faithfulness to my people in history." God has never once, ever forsaken his people who seek him. Ever. David, Moses, Jeremiah, and the rest. Oh, sure. He'll allow our enemies to surround us. He'll allow our enemies to scoff at us with brash words. He'll allow our enemies to even abuse us a little bit for a while. But he never abandons us to their power, but gives us the victory and delivers us in the end. Do you believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
Absolutely. That's what God gives us. And we see that when Paul says, "At my first defense, no one took my part. All deserted me. I was surrounded," in other words. "But the Lord stood by me. He gave me strength to proclaim the message fully that all the Gentiles might hear it. And so I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever." Can you say that? Let's say that right now, just to make sure you're with me. All right? Say this with the spirit of a warrior. Say, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil.
The Lord will rescue me from every evil.
And save me for his heavenly kingdom."
Save me for his heavenly kingdom.
That's the spirit of a warrior. And that's what God is giving you. Lay it to heart. He says, "Not only look to those places, but look to see my faithfulness even in your own experiences, your own life. I could look at my life and say, the Lord's rescued me from dangers at sea, dangers on the road, dangers when my wife had a precarious pregnancy, dangers in the troubles of my new age wanderings, rescued me from the danger of false teachers, the danger in finances, the danger when my daughters faced troubles, the danger when my congregation's been threatened. And hasn't God brought you to this very day? As he says in Deuteronomy 29, I've led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out upon you. Your sandals have not worn off your feet, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. You're here today. He's been faithful to you. Look and see his faithfulness. He's going to be the same and better and the same in the future. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and his grace will lead me home. And he says, especially, look to my son, Jesus, to see my faithfulness. Do you know that God gave us prophecies in the scriptures of his coming for thousands of years ahead of time, and he came according to those promises? He came according to his faithfulness out of his love for you to come and be born to be our Savior. In faithfulness, he saved you on the cross from the wrath of God, which is coming. In faithfulness, he gives you eternal life by his blood, by his cross, by his faithfulness, and by our faith in him, he makes us spotless and irreproachable before God, our Father, cleansed of our every spot and stain, forgiven by his cross and rising again. God has never yet failed those who seek him. Why should he fail you? And lastly, you might say, but it's hard, though. What you're saying here, Pastor, it's hard to do because it is the way of life that here I stand strong today, but tomorrow I'm in fear again, and I worry. What about if I'm afraid again tomorrow? It happens. We saw that to the disciples. We saw that with Elijah, who was laughing at the prophets of Baal at one time, and a few days later he's hiding in Mount Carmel. In Mount Sinai in a cave and cowering. You know, we do wrestle with worry. Anxiety is hard to shake in our lives. It's a difficult foe, but you're a warrior. You're a warrior. What you need to do then, my word to you then, or God's word to you, is this. Fight. Wield the sword of my word and keep wielding it. And pray, just like I have told you in my word here, when all else fails, avail yourself of all prayer. Pray at all times in the Spirit, Paul says, that utterance may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel as I ought to speak, boldly. And God says to you this, have I not commanded you? Be strong, be of good courage, be not frightened, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I am the Lord your God who stirs up the sea so that it waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. Yes, even to your old age and to gray hairs, as I'm getting a few, I am he. I will carry you. I have made you, and I will bear you, and I will carry and will save. That's the promise of our God to you, his knights and warriors. And so let's do this until we can say, by the Spirit, to our every trouble, who or what is this uncircumcised Philistine that it should defy the armies of the living God? I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Are you a warrior or are you a warrior? God has made us more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. All right, if you please stand, let's confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, found on page 10. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, you may be seated.